To what you were chanting before it was fun. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada.
Broken Monday. Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pracharini Nivishesha Shunyavadi Prasthati Deshtayana. Welcome back. In our previous episode, we discussed that there's a Vedic cycle of sacrifices and pious activities by which people go up to the heavenly planets, have a good time for an extended period, and then fall back down again. Katagatam kama kama labhante. But those who engage in devotional service, tesham nitya bhyuktanam yoga kshema vahaniham. Krishna provides everything they need and protects what they have. He helps the devotee achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga and protects him from falling down to a miserable material life. Now we're coming back to another topic, very significant for those who are members of the Hindu culture, especially. Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayan vitaha tepi mam eva kontya yajantya vidhi purvakam. Anya devata bhakta means those who are devotees of other deities, other gods, and yajante, who are worshipping them, shraddhayan vitam, not duplicitously, very faithfully, with shraddha. Tepi mam eva kontya yajanti. Actually, they're worshipping me, but avidhi purvakam. Avidhi purvakam means in the wrong way. Avidhi. Vidhi means rules and regulations. Avidhi means against the rules. Avidhi purvakam. And Prabhupada gives a very nice example to explain this. That when you offer respect to the spiritual master, the custom is that we offer respect by touching his lotus feet. So if someone thinks that there's no difference between the head of the spiritual master and his feet, so let me touch him on the head, that's avidhi purvakam. That's not according to the rules. It's true that the spiritual master, his feet are there, his head is there, they're both parts of the spiritual master, but the vidhi is, we touch the lotus feet, not that we pat the spiritual master on the head. So, they're worshipping Krishna, but they're going through the unauthorized channel. Another example Prabhupada gives is bribing a government officer. Definitely you're paying your taxes, but that's not the way to do it. It's avidhi purvakam. So, here and in several other places in the 7th chapter also, we found out that this worship of demigods is not approved by Bhagavad Gita. But people are worshipping the demigods and they're saying, yatama tatapat, and whichever way you want. Everyone has his ishta devata, his own favorite deity, chosen deity. So, as long as you worship faithfully, everybody gets to the same goal because it's all the same. But this is simply not accepted in Bhagavad Gita. It may be, they'll say, no, according to our Hindu culture, but we're going by Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, this method of approaching the Supreme is called avidhi purvaka, against the rules. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhurevacha. Krishna says that I'm actually, don't worry about it, just let the traffic pass. Hey guys, let's see how fast you can go.
You did speed up.
It is, but now we're getting to more confidential knowledge. Krishna said, this is Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. All right, for the general mass of people, you follow some Vedic principles better than just thinking everything is by my own arrangement. Offer respect to the demigods, perform sacrifice. This is karma yoga. But here he says, forget the demigod worship. Just like Krishna in Vrindavan, he challenged, what are you people doing this Indra Puja? This is unnecessary. Just worship Govardhan Hill. Just worship me. Because Krishna wants to establish Ananya Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti, pure devotional service. So we've come to more confidential knowledge. Most confidential. Yes. Kaitava Dharma? No. Because they're authorized by Vedic scripture. Although, yes, sometimes they're considered Kaitava Dharma. If we're encouraging people to just perform pious activities and be elevated. And actually, it's Kaitava Dharma. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, anything aiming at these four things, that's Kaitava, cheating. The real thing is aiming toward Bhakti Yoga. Even Moksha. It's impersonal liberation. That's also cheating. From one angle of vision, this is all Vedic culture, this is all Dharma. From another angle of vision, Sarvadharman Pratyaja, otherwise you're cheating. Any other question here so far? No, okay. Ahamhi Sarvayagyanam Bhoktacha Prabhurevacha. Krishna says, I'm the actual Lord and enjoyer of all sacrifices. People are offering so many yajnas, Indra Yajna, Kali Puja, this yajna, that yajna. Krishna says, I'm the actual person who's meant to enjoy all of the yajnas. Even in the beginning, in the third chapter, yajyartat karmanonyatra, that yajna should be performed for the satisfaction of Vishnu, yajna by Vishnu. But here, it's Krishna who's the real enjoyer of all yajnas. Natumam abhijananti tatvena tasyavantite. Those who don't factually understand this fall down. Chiyavanti means they fall down. Any questions? Yes?
How do people get that idea?
From. That's in the Vedas. Yeah, oh yeah, it's all over the Vedas. You worship this demigod for this, you worship that demigod for that. It's there in the Vedas.
Does this have anything to do with Srimad Bhagavatam, where Srila Vyasadeva was feeling despondent?
Yeah, also. Thank you. Yeah, therefore, after writing, compiling all the Vedas, Vyasadeva wasn't satisfied because it wasn't clear what people should actually do. He hadn't actually glorified the personality of Godhead. That's why he wrote the Bhagavatam, right? Some other question? Okay. Yes?
Those who do not recognize Krishna's transcendental nature fall down. Does it mean that worshippers of demigods fall down?
Yes. Or?
or they already fallen down because they didn't recognize his nature, so now they worship Denaga.
Either way. Because they didn't recognize his nature, they're worshipping the demigods and coming and going. Gathagatam kama kama labhante. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes on vacation, sometimes back to work. Okay? Yanti deva vrta devan pitrin yanti pitri vrtaha bhutani yanti bhutejya yanti mad yajanopi mam. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse quite often, specifically to defeat this idea that all roads lead to Rome. That whatever spiritual path you take, it will all bring you to the same goal in the end. Oh, I can see what we're in for today now. People said, no, there's no difference. You worship Krishna or Kali or Durga or Shiva. It's all the same. Here Krishna says, no. Deva Vrata means those who are worshipping the devas. Yanti Devan, they go to the devas. Pitrin Yanti Pitri Vrataha. Those who worship the Pitris go to Pitri Loka. Bhutani Yanti Bhutejya. Those who are worshipping the ghosts go there. They go to the ghosts. Bhuta Ija. And Yanti Madhyajanopimam. And my devotees come to me. The Prabhupada gives the example. If you get on the train from Delhi to Bombay, you're not going to wind up in Calcutta. It's common sense. It's not that any ticket you take, you wind up at the same destination. It's a pretty wild idea, actually. So spiritually also, Krishna says that according to your ticket, you reach a particular place. You worship the devas, you go to the devas. You worship me, you come to me. That's very straightforward. Yes?
About Sri Loka.
Okay.
Oh yeah, this time just
where is this coming from now?
It's John Lasseter's son in the name.
Son in where?
Coming to talk to him.
Where is it coming from?
It's in there.
From the stairwell.
From the stairwell.
They just have a license to be noisy. What can we do? Punch him out.
I can try a humble approach. I can attempt.
Oh, what is this humble approach? Just punch him out. Okay. So is this verse clear?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty clear.
Tell more about this Pitri Loka.
It's a lower planet. It's located below the Earth. It's mentioned in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's known as a planet of Pitas or ancestors. I don't exactly understand who's there because everybody's an ancestor of somebody.
Yeah, that's the,
yes. That's who they are, huh?
Yeah.
They're like middlemen.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What about
ask them not to be stupid. Oh, okay, it's all right. We'll just
come
be undisturbed.
Okay. Haribo. Haribo. Come here.
Women and children. trucks of bricks. Okay.
What about other religions?
Yeah, women, children, trucks of bricks, and other religions.
Deviation.
What's your question?
Yeah, he's saying.
Yeah, Prabhupada also said that those who are worshipping Jesus Christ, they may go to Jesus Christ. Prabhupada said he has a planet somewhere. Yeah, so they're supposed to go to God according to their
religion,
but according to their conception. If their conception is impersonal, then where will they go? Maybe Brahma.
But some conceptions are
personal. So they can make progress depending on
their
adhikara, their qualification. But if they're worshipping the Supreme Lord, then they can go to the Supreme Lord. Maybe by Kunta. That also, if their conception of God is kind of a
Christian.
Yeah,
Christians.
No, the conception is just like, you know, get the results of your good deeds and live in paradise forever, and there's not much God consciousness, actual God consciousness, then perhaps they'll go to the heavenly planets and stay there for a long, long time and come down. But if they actually have devotion to the Supreme Lord, Vaikuntha is there, where God is the Supreme King. You worship God as the King of Kings. So in Vaikuntha, he's the King of Kings.
Even with a mediator?
Yeah. Eventually, you know. Okay. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomad bhaktya priyachati tadaham bhaktyuparatam ashnami prayatatmanaham. An interesting literary feature to be pointed out is that in the first edition of Bhagavad Gita, as it is, the entire first paragraph isn't there. It's just not there. The entire first paragraph.
This much?
Huh?
Isn't this much? First paragraph.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of text.
It's more than half a page.
Yeah, more than half a page. It's just not there. It was recovered from the abridged edition, actually, where it did appear.
So, would that mean Srila Prabhupada recorded this before we went to
it? Somehow it got left out. It appeared in the abridged edition, but in the original Macmillan edition, it didn't make it. So, when we did the second edition, we got it back. Quite a beautiful paragraph, actually. With some famous quotations, actually. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfection of life?
Hey, guys! Whoa! Can we keep that stairway a little quiet these days? Punch him out for me, okay?
He's wandering about.
Silent,
huh?
Silent.
Stay silent for a while.
Silent for 2 minutes. Here also, the point that bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically that bhakti, or devotional service, is the only means to approach Krishna. No other condition, such as becoming a Brahmin, a learned scholar, a very rich man, or a great philosopher, can induce Krishna to accept some offer. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. Bhakti is never causal, the process is eternal. It is direct action and service to the absolute whole. So, anyway, there's some people who would rather we left that out. We're happy with that. So in this verse, it's very sweet. Krishna's expressing that he's willing to accept the smallest thing. Patram, pushpam, palam. Patra means a leaf, or pushpa, a flower. Pala, fruit. Probably said it was cauliflower is also a flower. Fruit. Or toyam, water. Anyone can get at least a little water. And offer to Krishna, because the main ingredient is not the thing, but it's your love, bhakti. And Krishna says, bhakti upadatam, because it's offered with devotion, I accept it. Yome bhaktiya priyachchati. Ashnami, I accept that, I eat that. Because he's in pure consciousness, prayatatmanaha. So this is Krishna. He's so kind that you don't have to be a rich man, you don't have to have any material qualification. It's just your feeling. Let me offer something to Krishna. Prabhupada explained that actually everything's coming from Krishna, so where's the question of offering him anything? But it's the love. Just like Ganges is worship, we offer some Ganga to the Ganga, some Ganges water to the Ganges. It doesn't increase the Ganges at all. It's not that Ganges needs the water. But in this way we express our respect and devotion. Or Prabhupada gave the example that some man is giving his son an allowance. So the kid is always spending to buy this, to buy that. But if he thinks, let me buy something for my father, then the father thinks, oh, it's so nice. Although, you know, what is it? The father doesn't need anything. But it's love. It's just like the child says, oh, father, will you take a little piece of cake? It's very good. So, oh, is it good? Oh, all right. Now the father bought the cake. But because it's being offered with love, he's very happy. Oh, is it nice? So in this way, Krishna wants to create some give and take. These are, in Nectar of Instruction you're reading, that these are the loving dealings. Dadati, pratigrinati, bhunkte bhojayate chaiva. To give something to eat, to accept something. So Krishna, he accepts the food that's offered with devotion, and he gives prasadam. So this is the mercy of Krishna. And anyone can become Krishna conscious simply by offering these foods, which are asked for by Krishna. Prabhupada explains, not that you just offer any rubbish to Krishna, but the things that are requested, that will actually have the effect. Any question here? Yes.
We were speaking also about these six changes in the world. Usually, we shouldn't accept food which is cooked but by many devotees. But sometimes, because of the preaching, it is necessary to do this.
But the danger is there, you go out preaching and you start eating food cooked by all the non devotees, and your consciousness becomes contaminated. Prabhupada used to have the principle in India that everyone would invite him, but he wouldn't accept unless they first became a life member. And that way they joined the society. Then he would accept. We need to be careful, because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what is it? I've forgotten the Bengali.
It's in
Tush Dohay Loman. Vishayir, that's what I'm thinking of. Vishayir, Anna, something. By eating food prepared for sense gratification, the mind becomes dushta. Dushta means polluted, wicked, nasty.
Vishayir, Anna, Kaila, Dushta, Hayaman. By eating food.
food prepared by worldly people, one's mind becomes wicked.
Right. So we need to be, we should be very reluctant to eat the food prepared by non-devotees. They can give some fruit, something to drink, some water, but especially grains cooked by non-devotees, we should be very reluctant. Yes.
There's also Gopal Bhatta Goswami quotes one of the Puranas in his Harivarti Vilas, and he says, food, especially grains that are cooked by Avaishnavas and that are not offered to Lord Vishnu, are the same as the dog meat.
There you go. We should be very strict about this, actually. We should be, well, he's devotee, we should be very careful about where we accept
eat
food. Yes.
Prabhupada said also that food cooked outside taken of the temples should be considered like dog's food.
Food what?
Outside of the temple, like non-prasada.
Outside
also
of the...
Also like in the supermarket, all this, whatever you can buy that is chocolates and all this kind of stuff.
I never heard actually that quotation, but I've never heard that actually from Prabhupada.
Dog meat.
That's what Prabhupada said. Where did you hear it?
I can't remember, but I think I read it.
I no, it's not in the book. Dog food. I don't think so. But the principle is there. We don't eat food prepared by non-devotees. The airline food, you know, first of all, it's lousy. You know, if you bring your own, Prabhupada used to bring his own. What is the difficulty? You know, he'd bring his own prasadam, and then while all those other poor people were stuck with the meager offerings from the airline catering companies, he would have nice sabji, puri, samosa, whatever he liked. Better. First of all, actually, they say you're better off not eating on airplanes in terms of jet lag and all of that. But Prabhupada did. But he would not eat the airline food. We don't go to restaurants. We don't go to hotels. But we all fly on airplanes, and we should avoid there. Their food. It's just cooked for sense gratification.
Once you're taking some milk from
the... Yeah, milk. That comes from the cow, not from the catering company. Some milk, some fruit. But best to bring your own. Then you'll be happy. Or actually, just not eat, wait till you hit the ground and all the birds fly in the sky and eat on the ground. So. Yes.
So when it's like food is cooked by a devotee and offered to Krishna, so it's transcendental, it's pure, but still when we eating, it affects consciousness of the man who cooking, it affects our consciousness.
That's also there, it's natural. When something is cooked by a pure-hearted person, then you'll feel so nice. And if its person is not so pure, you may. But that Kalidas, he didn't distinguish all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, whatever they, he took the remnants of all their prasadam. But that's also a fact that when everything is cooked by in pure consciousness, that's better. Prayatatmana, Krishna says, because it's offered by in pure consciousness. So we should, best thing, we should all accept food cooked by pure devotees. All the cooks should be pure devotees, and it will be good. Huh? Yeah. I mean, actually, you see the difference, don't you? Like when you eat at Prabhupada's Samadhi, the food that's been cooked by the wonderful devotees who are cooking with devotion for Prabhupada, there's some difference between that and going to the shop there and having a whatever it is.
Heard Prabhupada say that he wanted all brahmanas to be cooking in the Govinda's restaurant or
yeah, where we had out. Actually, he wanted our devotees to be cooking, but where it was sometimes necessary to have outsiders, they should all be brahmins.
Now it's only outsiders.
Yeah, there's a mix.
Yeah. Sujitani. Loud, loud, loud.
Sometimes devotees have to go outside for some work.
Yeah.
And then you go for a couple of days or so, you take the cooking utensils and you know.
Well,
how do you live?
There are different ways of dealing with this. You don't want to spend too much time, but one thing is that you can live for days and days on fruits, milk products. You know, on fruits and milk products, you can go and go and go. Not that we always have to have, you know, Rajbhog. But on those simple things, which don't require any cooking, we can live. Or if we know we're going out, then you bring your own. The Sankirtan devotees, they go out in Germany for weeks at a time. They have this German black bread that they bring, you know, which they cook and bring from the temple. So if you know that you're going out 2 days, 3 days, whatever, then you can, you know, bring a supply. There's so many things that last that you can take out and go on and on and on. They buy milk?
They buy milk, yeah.
Milk is fine. Even, yeah, you know, milk is milk. So if you're going to get very strict, then you may die on the road. But better to buy milk from a milk shop, but if there's no alternative, then all right, we'll get from the tea stalls some simple thing. Better not, you know.
Like it's just spaghetti and pasta.
The more we can avoid these things, the better. The more we can avoid these things, the better.
How about devotees nowadays buy these bread making machines so they activate, push the button and everything?
Anyway, it's the devotee, it's who pushes the button at least. You know, we can't. You know, we're not going to spend all of our time, you know, figuring out precise dietary laws for what's accepted and what's not accepted. Our principle is, number one, devotion; number two, utility. So we should really try to restrict ourselves to the food cooked in devotion. That will be best. And you'll see, even if you just stick to that, you'll see a change in your consciousness. You know, yes, you can go out and say, well, you know, utility is the principle, and then, you know, you go out and you never eat prasadam again, practically. But if you make the extra endeavor, then you'll see how it's nice. You think of Krishna by taking a nice Krishna prasadam cooked by the devotees. Especially when you're out, you know, it's like a lifeline, Krishna prasadam. So, we should try, you know, we may, Prabhupada would adjust according to the circumstances. But the more we can stick to Krishna prasadam, the better. Okay, even this chira, you know, takes about 2 seconds preparation time, you don't even need a stove.
Flat rice.
Flat rice.
Yeah. Just soak it and...
Soak it, clean it, soak it, mix it with yogurt, mix it with gur, mix it with...
Fruits.
Bananas, mix it with fruits. It's like, you know, Lord Nityananda's favorite food we heard was chita. So, you know, you could go, and that's like very filling, very satisfying. You can go on and on and on. Just chira doi, chira, chira
milk,
chira gur. Huh?
Vegetable and black salt.
Sorry?
It's vegetable and black salt.
With vegetables and black salt? Yeah, yeah, there's so many things. You know, cucumbers, you know, I mean, we're not going to get it, but hey, let's get started. We could have a whole, you know.
Prabhupada had a pack of that with him from America. No?
What's that?
Prabhupada had a whole pack of that with him from America.
I don't know.
In case he couldn't find anything to eat.
I don't know if it was here that Prabhupada had, maybe. Anyway, if this were, you know, one of those practical demonstration classes, we'd bust everything up and have a chira feast now, but it's practical. Puff rice, chira, so many things. Okay. Yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, didasi yat. Yat tapasasi kontiya, tat purusha, madarpana. This is also practical. It's the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. That's another benefit of eating prasadam. Everyone has to do these things, so Krishna says, do it for me. Tat kurusha madarpanam, as an offering to me. Meaning of?
Austerity.
Austerity means undergoing some voluntary inconvenience for spiritual progress. Huh? It should be only for spiritual progress. They do it for other reasons, you know, for political objectives or for economic, you know, to get so that you can get the benediction that whosever head you touch it will fall off, or you know, people do austerities for strange reasons, but for mystic powers, but it should be for spiritual advancement. And if we're doing it for spiritual advancement, we should offer it to Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that this is not the highest standard of devotion, because it involves I'll do something and I'll offer it to Krishna. I cook for myself and then I offer it to Krishna. I do something else for myself and I offer it to Krishna. That's not as high as thinking, what does Krishna want? Let me just do that. But Srila Prabhupada takes a different line of commenting and accepts that whatever we do, we should do it in such a way that will always remember Krishna. Shubha Shubha Palayar Evam Mokshase Karma Bandhanai Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma Vimukto Mam Upaishasi. Shubha Shubha Palayar means auspicious and inauspicious results. Everybody wants to be liberated from the results of inauspicious activities. But here, Krishna recommends that by offering everything to him, one can be freed also from the results of auspicious activities. Kaviraj Goswami says, Dvaite Bhadra Bhadra Gyan E Mano Dharma E Balo E Mande Sabham. Good or bad, it's all bad. Mano dharma means it's all mental concoction. Just like, you know, I don't like my wife very nice, but that very much. But that girl over there, she is really not. You know, it's all the same thing. But by mental concoction, one imagines that here it's nice, there it's not nice. Mano dharma. Hey, balo, hey, man. This is good. This is bad. It's all illusion. So what's the question? Good illusion or bad illusion? It's all birth and death. So if I take birth, you know, in a higher planet, or I take birth in a lower planet, I'm taking birth. That's auspicious. If you take birth in a higher planet, that's supposed to be auspicious. But taking birth is not auspicious under any circumstances. So it's mental concoction. So shubha shubha palaya. We want to be freed from both the inauspicious karma and the auspicious karma. Both from bad karma and good karma. We want to get out of the whole thing. Moksha say karma bandhanai, because it's all the bondage of karma. Sannyasa yoga yuktatma. Connected with Krishna in this principle of renunciation. Vimukto mam upaishasi. You'll be perfectly liberated and come to me. Prabhupada quotes again the Sanskrit's left out of the first edition from Rupa Goswami, anasaktasya vishayam yatarham upayunjata nirbandha krishna sambandhe jukta vairagya. Real renunciation means to use everything in the service of Krishna. Any other questions here? Yes? Time for a break? You guys want to take a break? Mm-hmm. You do? No. Who's for a break?
2 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, according to the number of votes, that's how long the break's going to be. Yeah, we'll take a break then. 2 minutes.
Like this one gives one side.
Say it again.
When I arrived, it was already 16. Saw that the Western people especially were not very good. And practical activity. Thank you. Ram Yadi Yadi Krishna 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 Yadi Yadi Ram Yadi Ram 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 Yadi Yadi Krishna 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 Yadi Yadi Ram Yadi Ram 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 Yadi Yadi Krishna 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 Yadi Yadi Ram Yadi Ram 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 Yadi Yadi Krishna 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 Yadi Yadi Ram Yadi Ram 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 Yadi Yadi Krishna 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 Yadi Yadi Ram Yadi Ram 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 Yadi Hare Krishna, 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 must be pretty short because we're going to start again.
They are connected. One of them is the previous year you said when the gates are closed, we shouldn't circumvent. I cannot remember what exactly you said. It's a fence or just.
That they. The deities want to reciprocate. But there's no reciprocation, so it's customary not to do that.
But it's not a fact.
I can't, I don't know. Just, it's not customary.
And when the duties are closed, should you pay a base?
Yeah.
You can. No. I want to dress
the people throw these shilas in into place. It's just not necessary. That's not the standard. Prabhupada never said it. Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parashat Vishnupad, Poetry, such a shila, Shila, Mati Siddhanta, Sarshati, Shila Prabhupada. People throw their shilas and divine graces every day. Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parashat Vishnupad, such a shila, Shila, his divine grace. That's what all the rest of it was. No need for it. Okay, let's start again. We're on, gang.
Gopinath.
Gopinath.
Hey, Gopis. Okay, we're back in action. Samoham sarvabhuteshu namedveshosti natriyaha ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaha. This is Krishna. He's equal to everyone. It's not that Krishna is partial, that he likes some, he doesn't like others. This was discussed in, is it the sixth canto? Discussion between Yudhisthira Maharaj and Narad Muni. That Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. He doesn't play favorites. Of course, even when he kills someone, that's to their benefit. It's not that he hates anyone. He's also kind to Shishupal, to Putana, they all get benefit, even by being Krishna's enemy. But Krishna says, I'm equal to all living entities. Name dveshosti na priya. I'm not averse to anyone, and I don't play favorites. Like a judge, someone goes to jail, someone is awarded a big sum of money. Not because the judge likes one guy and doesn't like the other guy, but according to what they deserve. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya. But Krishna says, if someone's engaged in my devotional service, then I'm in him and he's in me. Because the devotee is especially turning toward Krishna, Krishna especially turns toward him. The sun shines equally everywhere. It doesn't say, well, I'm not going to shine in Nebraska because I don't like Nebraska. I'm not going to shine in the poor man's house because I don't like poor men. The sun is shining everywhere, but one who comes out into the sun will get the benefit of the sunlight. And the person who closes his shutters won't get the benefit. So the devotee is like that. He's therefore, Prabhupada quotes, Yeyatamam prapadyante tamspatayavatajam. As they approach me, I reciprocate with them. Another example is given that water, the rain falls everywhere, but someplace mango tree is growing, and someplace a neem tree is growing. So the mango is very sweet and the neem is very bitter, but it's not that the rain is partial. It's the same for everyone. So it's up to us how we approach Krishna. Yes? Yes. It's highest, but then it's also every other form is equally good. That's explained by Srila Sanatana Goswami. From one angle of vision, the gopis are the highest. From another angle of vision, every devotee is equally good. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we don't distinguish between a big devotee and a little devotee, just as we don't distinguish between a big tulsi leaf and a small tulsi leaf. We distinguish, but then we don't distinguish. From one angle of vision, the gopis are the highest. From another angle of vision, if we think that gopis are higher, the coward boys are lower, that's offensive. They're all dear to Krishna. Okay, yes?
So it's like, more, they have this phrase now, equality of opportunity, that Krishna likes his devotees especially, but everybody has an opportunity to be a devotee.
Yes. Nice. Apichet sudurācharo bhajate mām ananyabhāt sadhureva samantavya samyag vyabhasito hisa. Very important verse. How Krishna values the devotee. Sudurācharo. Durācharo means sinful activities or abominable actions. Acharo means behavior. Durācharo means bad behavior. Sudurācharo. Abominable behavior. Api chait sudurācharo. So even if someone's behavior has been abominable, but Pajate Imam Ananyabhak. He's engaged in devotional service. Ananyabhak, without deviation. Sadhureva Samantavya. Krishna says he should be considered a sadhu. Eva. Eva means definitely, certainly. He must be considered a sadhu. Samyag vyavasito hi saha. Because he's properly situated in his determination. Sometimes we may think, and Prabhupada explains that devotional service and material life or embodied existence generally go parallel. You know, I'm molding my life in such a way that my activities are consistent with Krishna consciousness. But sometimes, because of embodied life, things cross. Something in our destiny, something in the circumstances, something happens, and something crosses. It doesn't go parallel. Yeah, here it is. In the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relation to the body parallel one another, but sometimes they're opposed to one another. So we should be very careful, but sometimes a devotee commits an act which may be taken as socially or politically abominable. But such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional fall down is at once rectified. If he's engaged with determination in chanting Hare Krishna, then he should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or accident he's seen to have fallen. The words sadhureva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly, even if he has fallen down. And the word mantavya is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. So this is, Krishna consciousness is not like pious activity, where we look and see, you know, by the moral and ethical standards, and everything is judged according to that. Ethics are important, morals are important, but they're subordinate to the supremely important consideration that one should be wholeheartedly engaged in the service of Krishna. If one is perfectly moral, perfectly ethical, and he's not Krishna conscious, then he's a nonsense. His good qualities are compared to the decoration on a dead body. And if he's Krishna conscious, even if there's some discrepancy in his ethical behavior or his moral standards, still he should be considered a saintly person. There are many, many quotations on this point on my website, jswami.info. There, I've lately published a series of them, several such quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures on this point. And Prabhupada quotes, Bhagavati chahara vananya cheta brisha malinopi virajate manusha nahi shashak kalusha chabhi kadachit timira parabhavatam upaiti chandra. Even if one's fully engaged in devotional service and he's sometimes found engaged in abominable activities, those activities should be considered like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. In the West, we see a man in the moon. In India, they see a rabbit in the moon. therefore, another word for the moon is Shashi. Shashi means having a rabbit. Shasha is a rabbit. So the planet that has a rabbit on it, that's Shashi. So the moon is so beautiful, the moon is giving cooling rays, but a prosaic dullard will say, spots on it. And they'll write papers about all the spots on the moon and, you know, how all these stupid people are adoring the moon even though it has spots. And they'll publish on the internet, spots, but they're fools. Similarly, if someone derides a devotee for some past fall down, or even for some present fall down, and doesn't take into consideration that this person is wholeheartedly engaged in devotional service, then he's disobeying the orders of the Supreme Lord.
What happens then when he disobeys the order?
Then the Supreme Lord doesn't become very happy with you. You're committing an aparad. This is called Vaishnava aparad. If you deride a devotee, someone who's dear to Krishna, because he's wholeheartedly engaged in devotional service, and you go around with your little checkbook, your little, you know, notebook, and say, oh, yeah, but he, you know, he ate a mushroom, or he, you know...
13 years ago.
Or even if he did something sudaracha, very seriously abominable. But if it's seen that he fully engaged in devotional service, that has to be seen. And Prabhupada would see that way. You know, there were many cases where the devotees wanted to throw the bum out, you know, and Prabhupada reinstated him. No, he's serving. He's sincerely serving.
So it only refers to those who have fallen down but are still continuing in devotional service.
Yeah, if a person gives up devotional service, and he becomes a rascal. But Ananya Bhak, we see sometimes a person, he does, you know, he just blows it royally. He does something absolutely abominable. But then he thinks, what did I do? And he wants to engage in service again. It's against the law to think, no, this person's abominable. It's against the law.
He does not come back, it's not against the law.
Huh?
When he doesn't,
yeah, if he gives up devotional service, even then you should be careful, you know, because he didn't come back on Tuesday, but then Friday he comes back.
What if he starts deriding the devotees?
That's not very good.
What if somebody is like continuing devotional service, but still sometimes breaking his out of some principle?
Still, he has to be considered that this person is engaged in devotional service. He didn't go away. Yeah, even if he continues. There's a whole discussion about this. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur really gets into this. Or maybe it's better edited here. Let's see. Let's see. Well, yeah.
At first, they were so much glorifying me, and then they were jumping on the t-shirt, on his face, and all this stuff.
Yeah, at first they jump off the starboard side, and then they jump off the port side. First they think, well, no, you know, whatever a pure devotee does, even if he's, you know, doing abominable things, it must be a pastime. And then they think, oh, he did this abominable thing, let's vilify him. Well, neither thing is right. Not that we close our eyes and think, well, you know, he's a pure devotee if he's, you know, in bed with one of his, you know, disciples. Well, you know, maybe they're just like Krishna Katha or something. I mean, we shouldn't be fools. But on the other side, we shouldn't think, oh no, now he slept with this woman, he shows that we always knew, da 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 da. Anyone can have a fall down.
What if they're committing offenses on the strength of...
That's very bad. This is how we should think, not that that I should think, well, you know, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that even the most abominable person, so even if I do something abominable now and then, well, you know, it's okay, I'm a devotee. That becomes nam nad balad yasyahi papabhuti, the greatest offense against the holy name. But we should think about the others that way. Yes.
I've seen like cases, someone who's actually a reputed devotee, but he has occasional like problems, but he seems like he expects people to respect him, you know, like.
Excuse me?
He expects people to respect him as authority. He also likes to point out other people's folk songs, you know. But, so, I mean, from my side, I don't consider his fault off, but I consider his, that he should, you know, his attitude should...
Yeah, we may not think that, you know, if a person, it's not like this person's still an acharya.
Yeah.
You know, he's a leading example. Well, you know, I mean, you know, he's playing the horses. So, you know, I mean, you know, it's like, it's okay. Loosen up. You know, the problem is that we're just too uptight. And here, you know, that Krishnadas is playing the horses, and, you know, he's still chanting, and he's, you know, so, you know, just cool it. Not that it becomes the new standard. Not that Sudurachar becomes authorized. Not that Krishna says, whoever is performing Sudurachar, take his example, because he's a pure devotee. A pichate, even if, in spite of, not because of, or, but in spite of his durachar, still he has to be considered saintly. Not that we think his sudurachar is saintly behavior. The saintly behavior is that he's addicted to Krishna, despite his failings. And here's that section. Oh, it comes up in the next verse, actually. Maybe we'll move on to the next verse. Chipram bhavati dharmatma shashvach chantim nigachchati kaunteya pratijani hi name bhakta pranashati. Very quickly he comes back to the standard, dharmatma, and he attains lasting peace. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Krishna tells Arjuna, you declare it, that my devotee will never perish. And I think you've all heard the explanation, that if Krishna is supposed to be a little tricky, so if he says it, people may not believe him. So he tells Arjuna, you declare it. Because he wants to establish this principle very strongly. And here's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on these two verses. One might ask, but if someone is corrupted by such bad behavior, how can he be a sadhu? This is answered. He should be considered as such and thought of as a sadhu. He should be considered, that's mantavya, is an injunctive statement, an order. If this injunction is disobeyed, there will be unfavorable consequences. In other words, the evidence for the truth of this is that it is simply my command. Well, someone might say, one may be considered a sadhu partially to the extent that he's worshipping you, but to the extent that he's usurping other men's wives and properties, he's not to be considered a sadhu. This is answered by the word eva, only. He should only be considered a sadhu in all ways completely. We should never view him as not a sadhu. His determination may be is completely fixed. I may go to hell or obtain an animal birth because of my unavoidable sinful reactions, but I will never give up my exclusive worship of Sri Krishna. Such determination is praiseworthy. But, one might ask, why do you accept the worship of such an irreligious person? Why do you consume the food and drink offered by one whose heart is contaminated by lust, anger, and other faults? In response, the Lord says, he quickly becomes religious. This is not expressed as he is going to quickly become, or he will soon achieve peace, Rather, the present tense, he becomes, he attains. The Lord continues, this means that immediately after he commits impiety, he remembers me and feels remorse. Thus he becomes quickly religious. He thinks, alas, alas, no person is more fallen than me. I defile the reputation of the community of devotees. Damn me. Again and again, feeling remorse like this, he achieves complete peace and detachment. Well, one may say, if he actually becomes religious, there can be no argument about such a person. But what about a devotee whose behavior is wicked and who fails to give up his bad behavior throughout his whole life? What can be said about him? Always too affectionate to his devotees, the Lord responds to this doubt with complete confidence and with some anger. In the words beginning, Kontiya, Kontiya Pratijanihi, my devotee never perishes. Even when he dies, he never falls down. To encourage Arjuna, who's disturbed with sorrow and apprehension over the thought that hard-hearted quibblers who indulge in false logic will not accept this, the Lord says, Kontiya, go to the assembly of these disputants and make a loud sound with drums and cymbals, raise your arms fearlessly, and declare my promise. I, Krishna, am the Supreme Lord, and even if my devotee is wicked in his behavior, he will never perish. On the contrary, such a devotee is sure to become successful. Their bad logic will be shattered by this confident declaration. This is how emphatically Krishna is speaking. Any devotee or any government of the spiritual society that doesn't understand this is misled and neglecting the statements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes. That's a different thing. That he's sadhu doesn't mean, you know, just like a person's a treasurer and he's embezzling money. So you may not consider him a good treasurer, but still you have to consider him a sadhu. You may give him some other service, but you can't say, no, you're not a sadhu, so we're not going to let you do this. Rather, we think that this person is a sincere devotee, but when he gets around money, he has trouble. So let's put him in charge of something else. You know, put him in charge of the cooking department where there's, you know, you can only embezzle cauliflowers or something. But not that our business is to punish him. You know, there's this, like, mundane jurisprudence. You know, you do something and you get punished. Prabhupada one time said, in Krishna consciousness, there's no punishment. And he sometimes even would take people who'd fallen down and put them in a higher position. We saw that. He would take a person who'd fallen and he'd give him a better position. Why? How this person can be engaged in Krishna's service. We know, those who were in Prabhupada, so many instances where the devotees were like screaming, you know, and Prabhupada would not throw the person out. Prabhupada would be concerned. Even there, he told that in his Guru Maharaj's time, one person, all the devotees were like completely disgusted with him. He was said to be stealing money and this and that. And one time it was brought to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that this person is stealing money and this and that. And he rebuked them, that you're simply concerned about the money. And you're not concerned about this person's spiritual welfare. So Prabhupada would be concerned to see that a person who's sincerely engaged in Krishna's service, even if he has some fall down. There was one, someone was the temple president of one of our North American temples, and he was said to be engaging in illicit sex, and they removed him and put somebody else in. Prabhupada, when he came to the temple, where is such and such? Well, Prabhupada, he was this. How do you know? Well, Prabhupada, he wasn't chanting his rounds. Are you chanting your rounds? How do we know? Prabhupada, like, completely reversed them, took out the person they put in, put back the original person. Because Prabhupada recognized that this person had done serious service and he was a sincere person, even though he had some difficulties. And that's not the only example. But it's revolutionary. You know, from a point of view of justice, from the point of view of
Christianity
and, you know, Judeo-Christian tradition, we look and say, you know, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know, these Islam, you know, stone you or whatever it is. Why only Islam? You know, that's not, you know, they're basically a Judeo-Christian religion. They're coming from the same tradition. Abrahamic religions, they call them. Krishna's revolutionary. Sadhu, he's a sadhu. Don't think he's not a sadhu. These other people, that's a different story. Then eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, whatever it's going to be. But when a person is engaged in my devotional service, he has to be considered a saintly person. Very strongly, Krishna says. Excuse me? No, the body has got to perish. But spiritually means, you know, degraded and lost. We learned earlier that a devotee is never lost. What is that? Nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgatim tata gashchati. A person who's done good never goes to an evil destination. Even if he falls down, we read in the sixth chapter, even if he yoga brashta, he falls down from his yoga practice, he goes to the moon, he lives for thousands of years in the pious heavenly planets, and then he comes down in a fortunate family, and he again takes to devotional service because of his previous tendency. Yeah, perish doesn't mean that his body becomes imperishable. Sorry?
Somebody might think if you're traveling in a plane, for example.
You speak double loud, please.
Somebody might think if you're traveling in a plane, for example, and you're a devotee.
Yeah, then everybody else's body will be burnt to a crisp and you'll just walk out of the plane, walk out of the wreckage, you know, with your Todi and Kurta and neck beads, and everybody will, you know, devotee never perishes. No, it doesn't work that way. Fortunately. Yes. Vaishnava aparadhas are very serious. Other things, but Vaishnava aparadhas, therefore it's very interesting that the people who are saying, he did this, he did that, he did this, here's a list of all the things that he did, he did this, 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 he's blameless, and they're committing Vaishnava aparadhas. He gave up the thing a long time ago. He thought, I did this thing, it was very terrible. It's so abominable what I did. And they're going on publishing on the internet, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. So he's blameless, and they're reducing their spiritual position, their own spiritual position. Give one.
Well, back in the, I won't give any names, but back in the, probably mid-80s, one of the 11 was having a little bit of a difficulty, wasn't signing his round, and he admitted it to one of, you know, his god brothers, and that god brother told another god brother, and then that god brother told another. And so then, when they confronted him, he goes, "That's not true, I'm telling him around." Okay. So they all got together, they went traveling all over America, saying that, you know, he's not a bona fide spiritual master, he's not standing his own. All three of them.
Fell down.
And the grill fell down too.
Yeah. There was one instance, one of our GBC men had got involved with some woman. He was a sannyasi also. And one other sannyasi immediately sent out a letter to all the GBC men, all the temples. This has happened. Prabhupada was furious at the person who'd advertised it. Not at the person who'd done the thing, but at the person who advertised it. He said, now he can never come back. Prabhupada was furious. The person who'd done the thing, all right, that's very bad. But the person who advertised it, Prabhupada was furious. Because the person who's rendered service and who's sincere but has some problem, he's dear to Krishna. Now if you advertise, if you vilify that person, what is your position? We're chanting Hare Krishna, but the first offense in chanting is to vilify the Vaishnavas. What result are you going to get from your chanting when you're vilifying a devotee? It's completely against Krishna's order. It's completely against our tradition. It's completely wrong. You don't do that. However big you are, however much of a leader you are, however important you are, however senior you are, you don't do that. It's wrong. It's condemned personally by Krishna and the Acharyas. You don't do that. Huh? Whether it comes from envy or misplaced sense of righteousness, may not be envy. Someone just thinks, you know, doesn't get it. He's read the book and never understood it. Or he's read it and understood it, but somehow or other, you know, his vision is clouded, or, you know, other people are influencing him, you know, bad association or whatever it is. You know, I don't want to psychoanalyze people or say why they're doing things, but if they do this, it's wrong. It's against our philosophy. It's against what Krishna says. And sometimes someone's doing something wrong and everybody's saying, yeah, la, 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 and we don't have the guts to stand up to him and say, yeah, but this is our philosophy. You know, because then all the women will, you know, yell at you and call you bad names or something. But this is our philosophy. It's not easy to swallow sometimes. It's maybe counterintuitive.
Counter-PR.
It may be terrible PR. You know, if word gets out that we think this, but this is what we think, because this is what the Supreme Personality of Godhead thinks. And he is the final authority in these matters. All right, thank you all very much. Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Shipram.
Thank you. Okay, so you're taking charge. Here. How are you feeling today? Then?
So, yeah.
Better? That helps?
Without deviation, while deviation. No, you're with, no, this refers to someone who has committed an act, but then he sins again. Without deviation.